We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pregnant ladies and little kids better get the hell out of the way because I am running. I'm like Forrest Gump, dude. I am running. So the Titanic was the biggest ship on the ocean, but that didn't mean it was unsinkable.
Okay. I want you each to use ombudsman in a sentence next week.
I got one for you. My name is Kevin, the official ombudsman of the Just Press Play podcast. You like apples?
Welcome into another edition of the Just Press Play podcast. We got a full house tonight. We got me, Pops, Uncle Tony, LJ here. What's going on?
Let's go.
Hey.
Now, LJ, I do need to address the elephant in the room. Are you only here to laugh at the Raiders because they have now fired Josh McDaniels after
25
games?
No, I also want to talk Broncos Chiefs. Okay, so I've got two things I care about today.
It is interesting. The Broncos beat the Chiefs. Well, we'll get into that, but the Broncos beat the Chiefs.
It's been a hot
minute. And then Josh McDaniels gets fired, and LJ's like, I'm all in. What time are y'all ready to record? No,
let's go. What do we want to talk about?
You just tell me the time and place, and I'm ready to go.
Push everything off his calendar for tonight. My friends, is a parlay.
Yeah. Let's start with Josh McDaniels and the Raiders and him being fired after 25 games. I did a quick look, and I believe that makes him – the sixth quickest coach to be fired, just as far as games played. Number five being Lane Kiffin for the Raiders at 20 games. Mm-hmm. Lou Holtz with the Jets in 1976, 13 games. Pete McCauley in 78 with the 49ers, 9 games. George Allen with the Rams in 78, 2 preseason games. That's not great.
And well, number one is Bill. Though. Yeah.
Anyway. Number one. Well, speaking of comebacks, the number one coach on here is Bill Belichick with the Jets. Mm-hmm. 0 games in parentheses, 1 day. So that's the quickest. And then Josh McDaniels falls around 6. I was trying to look up the exact money on it. He's still got 4 years and all his money is guaranteed. LJ, I know you wanted, you've made a play on this podcast multiple times. Go ahead and sign him to a decade-long contract and keep Josh McDaniels.
I really think they've made a huge mistake today.
So, what thoughts, LJ? Besides the jokingly, they made a huge mistake. What's your thoughts?
Okay, so Josh McDaniels, a fun fact I learned recently, this might not be obscure. He is the only coach, I think, to be fired in his second season with 2 separate football teams.
No, that's because with your beloved Broncos.
Yeah, with my beloved Broncos that he absolutely destroyed. But it ended up, I guess, giving us the desperation to get Peyton Manning. So it works out, I guess. But I think he is the maybe the worst head coach that keeps getting opportunities in football. I'm sure he'll get another one somehow.
I bet against that. I don't know.
He might not.
He's really bad. And he's also like, he is almost as disloyal as Bobby Petrino. So, like, he's a bad coach. You don't want him in your organization if you can avoid him, for sure. There's no doubt about it.
I mean, there was a chance, LJ, like, maybe the Broncos tenure didn't work because he was a young guy, tried to be too much like Bill Belichick, and went back. And that's why this one, I think, even though I disagreed with the hire, it kind of was like, oh, maybe he learned his lessons, because sometimes that does happen.
I agree with you to a degree about the Broncos, but then after the Colts BS, I thought that showed you don't want this man in your organization.
Yeah, I think that showed you, that didn't tell you anything about him as a coach necessarily, but it just showed you like the trustworthiness already.
When you put those two things together, I mean, he doesn't deserve a job in the NFL. And while I wish that he was a Raider, it's probably for the best for coaching in general that he's not getting hired again.
The Raiders gave Josh McDaniels a 6-year contract, exactly 21 months to the day. He had 2 of those, so he's now getting 4 years left on the deal, and they're obligated to pay every single penny of it. It's not like in the NFL where sometimes they can cut a guy for a certain time and get out of some of that dead money. He's getting
paid
all his
money.
Are
they still paying
Gruden? Well, that's what I was about to say.
Are they going
to
be hiring like four coaches by the end of this year?
I'd have to look at.
Scaramucci's probably still getting a check from him.
They're guaranteed still paying Gruden. I have to. I don't know what the exact, but they signed him to like a 10-year deal. So and
well, he might have because he quit, right? So he might have waived.
Well, he was
contract.
Pushed out. I think.
Yeah,
he's in court trying to get some of that back.
Probably there was a thing for what bad behavior or whatever.
That's what the clause. There's a whole lawsuit going on with that where he's saying you still got to pay me all my money, and they're saying you got fired because you did detrimental, whatever it is. But Tony, now they're going to, I believe it was Aiden McDonald is the guy we talked about a few weeks back when he started. Mm-hmm. I know Jimmy G didn't look great in Monday night's game. He overthrew Devonta Adams twice on touchdown plays, but it kind of feels like this move is them going blow it all up, and it looks like they're playing for the draft pick, right? Is that how you read it?
That's the way I would read it. It'll be interesting to see if they – I don't know what kind of coach they're trying to get into arena for. But that's got to be it. And you want to see what you got in O'Donnell.
Might as well. Is it O'Donnell? I think you're right. I think I'm calling him McConnell, but it's O'Donnell, isn't it?
O'Donnell. And, at 3-5, after the last two really bad losses, there's two things about this I don't like. And the first thing is there's a stat for McDaniels. This is the first time either in 20 years or ever that in their first eight games, the Raiders have yet to have averaged less than 20 points. And this guy's an offensive coordinator. So he had to go. He had to go. But if you were going to make this move and you knew you were going to make this move, why didn't Devonta Adams get traded? Why didn't Josh Jacobs get traded? Why didn't Garoppolo get traded? There could have been multiple deals done if you knew you were going to do this. It was just bad timing because now you're stuck 3-5 with a rookie quarterback, and these guys are going to be gone at the end of the year. As we just talked about, he's paying a lot of money to a lot of coaches. He could have gotten some of that back yesterday, and if he'd have fired him Tuesday morning instead of Tuesday night.
Yeah, that Pops, where are you at? What do you think on the fire? Anything else?
Well, I think I'm wondering if I'm thinking this speaks to, and I don't completely dislike the guy, but I think Mark Davis has to take some blame in all this, guys. Yeah. I mean, he's hired.
Good point.
You know.
Well, yeah, we just made fun of how he's got coaches on the hook. Well, at some point, you got to kind of look in the mirror, right? Is that what you're saying?
He's got to look in the mirror at what he's been putting together. And I mean, Josh McDaniels, I don't think anybody on this pod was very high on him ever. Quite frankly, John Gruden probably was a pretty good coach. You know, he did some really stupid shit and deserved to get fired, quite frankly. But I don't know. I think we need to be talking about Mark Davis, and maybe he just doesn't know how to run a program. That's
a good point.
That's what thinking.
That's the best news that we can tell, LJ. There's no Mark Davis going anywhere. He is
Mark
not
Davis
getting fired.
Is gonna be there. So
let's go.
So just let's wait to see who his next hire is.
I would have to say that anyone with Mark Davis's haircut does not deserve to win.
Yeah, you want to look past that haircut and maybe think, oh, this is just the one thing, but maybe that's just telling you a little more about it. I don't know.
Here's the deal. I'll just put this out there on the pod. Mark Davis, if you're listening, I will sign a one-year deal to coach the Raiders, and I will fix every problem probably, I promise.
Probably, you think? Probably well, for considerably less than he's been
Mark
paying.
Davis, the offer is out there. The ball's in your court now. So you just
– six figures. Cheapest head coach in the entire league.
Does,
I got you.
Does what you pay a coach, that has no bearing on the salary cap, does it?
No, that's why it's interesting. Like Bill Belichick, his contract extension actually got leaked the other day. But the one thing about Bill Belichick is no one knows what exactly he's getting paid because you don't have to even
say
what you – you don't have to report. A lot of times the agent wants to report it because they have other coaches that they have – that their agents for, so they want to go. Sean Payton made this much money, so their next guy can say, "I need money." But yeah, Bill Belichick's contract's never been known. No one really knows exactly what he's getting, and
he's
it does
also
have
like out of a coaching union, right? That's like a big thing with him.
Yeah,
because there's like because that was the Madden thing, right? You never had
where he was Belichick always just New England coach. There was never Bill Belichick.
Did they sign him to an extended contract? Did y'all? Is that what you just?
It
said?
It came out, which they do this like every year. I don't think it's new news. It was just interesting that it got leaked. But right before their Bills game, like on Sunday morning, Jay Glazer, one of the reporters, the insiders on one of the countdown shows said,
I'm being told, or I have sources saying that Belichick over the offseason signed a 1-year extension. We just got word of it today, but he signed. So, but we don't even know exactly how many years are on his deal. It sounded like they leaked it saying that because it was at a bad time for New England, and they were saying we're still behind Bill Belichick type of situation. Let's move on to, we will get to the Denver Broncos and Chiefs, yeah, LJ, but we can't let LJ celebrate too much. So we'll put that down a little further. I do want to mention, because it's just a bummer, and I've done a lot of dancing on this guy's, I don't want to say grave, but like when he plays bad, I've had a lot of fun with it. I thought Kirk Cousins was playing the best football of his career, and it put his name squarely in, at least you have to at least think about him as an MVP. He was playing really well and doing it without Justin Jefferson. And to see
him, and zero rushing touchdowns, right?
Yeah, with no real running game. And to see him go down with that torn Achilles, and then even the way he handled it too, where I don't want to lie, this isn't to shame Aaron Rodgers, because I don't know how I'd be if I just, you know, tore my Achilles. But you saw Aaron Rodgers was very down, but Kirk Cousins limps off the field, knows that he just did something really bad, and sits there on the cart. And instead of being down, he quickly is like, all right, well, my team's driving right here. This is an important drive. And was like clapping for his team. He just seems like he's a goofball. He's kind of silly. We make fun of him, but I think the teammates really like him, and he seems like a likable guy.
I would imagine most teams will have this sort of defense of their quarterback, but when you see like some of the stuff the Vikings players have been talking about, like how he's an irreplaceable locker room presence, he's an irreplaceable commander on the field, and you just can't understand what it's like to play with Kirk Cousins unless you play with Kirk Cousins. You know, I it feels like some of that's pretty true. It genuinely does.
Well, guys, he's a pro. He's a damn good. Yeah. He's a pro football player, and he does it the right way. So I feel bad for him. But
And on top of that, which he's done pretty well with how he's timed out contracts and what he's done on the quarterback market, partly betting on himself. This was also a contract year, so it's probably the worst year as a 35-ish year old quarterback to tear your Achilles, because now there's going to be questions about where he comes from here or where he goes from here as far as his future.
Yeah,
Tony, I mean, what's your thoughts on the injury? And then second, the Vikings moving forward, they won again, so they're kind of back in the hunt now for the playoffs, and they traded for Josh Dobbs. I saw. What your thoughts? Take it away as far as Kirk, and then what's next?
So Kirk, it is tough, and we talked before the season started, and in Making the Green, we talked about Minnesota Vikings players because they had revamped this offense with the departure of Dalvin Cook to be centered around Kirk Cousins in a passing offense. And we were seeing that coming to fruition. Now, Justin Jefferson going down was going to be tough for them, but they now have one of the weakest schedules in the NFL coming up over the next 4 weeks. And they will get some support for Dobbs with Nick Mullins coming in. And it's not like it's a weak division. But they're going to have to catch Detroit, and Detroit looked pretty good the other night. So,
yeah, they did.
So I don't know what they'll do. They could turn and try to lean on Madison and Cam Akers, and Akers actually has started to
look a little better,
contribute a little more. But I think if they can win two more games in the net, if they win two out of three, and they get to the week 11 and Mullins is back with Dobbs, they could potentially be a sixth wild card. It's just going to be tough. It's really tough to change in the middle of the season your approach to your offensive side of the ball. And they've been pass happy, and I don't know how they're going to fix that, because can anybody run that offense like Kirk Cousins can run that offense? And so we'll see. But that's where I think they are for this year and what they would do next.
I mean, is there a chance if Dobbs showed some sign, obviously not that much, but he is going to an offense with, if Jefferson comes back, Jordan Addison looks like a guy, and Hockenson, you got some serious guys to throw to.
Yeah. I'm not sure what happened with KJ Osborne, if he's hurt. He had gotten knocked out of the game. I don't know if he came back, but Jordan Addison, and you'll see when Jefferson can be back. But here's the thing about Dobbs, and the reason that Arizona traded for him from Cleveland is Dobbs knew that system for that coach. And now I don't know if they're the same coaching tree as O'Connell in Minnesota. I certainly don't think they are, but I would have to take a look and see for sure, because I think Dobbs is going to have to learn a new system now. He was able to come right into Arizona, and he was running the same system as he left in Cleveland. I don't know that's going to be the case in Minnesota. I'm just not sure.
Yeah, I do trust Kevin O'Connell as far as an making a quarterback-friendly offense. But it's just going to be tough because, like, the issue is not necessarily Dobbs as much as what we've all been saying. Kirk was playing at an extremely high level. I mean, he was playing as well. I truly think he's playing about as well as any quarterback is currently right now. I'm not saying he's the best quarterback in the NFL, but just how he was playing right now. And so it's a bummer to see it.
It's a bummer. The show quarterback that was on earlier this year with him and Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers. Was it Aaron Rodgers? No, it was
Mariota.
Mariota. And he just showed what a goofball, corny guy he is, but a great guy, right? Just a great guy. And I hate it for him. I've always liked him. I thought he got a bad deal in Washington, and he made up for that with his deal in Minnesota. He's been a good quarterback for a long time.
All right, so moving on a little bit, and LJ, we'll get to what you would like to talk about here. And I want to start with, first, I realize I may be the kiss of death. It's possible that as soon as I endorse a team, they're awful. So I'm not going to say the Cowboys are back. I will not say it. You're not going to force me to. But I said the 49ers are good. Brock Purdy is just as that good, and I'm going to stop hating on them. They haven't won since. Yeah. And then I say the Chiefs are just awesome, and never doubt the Chiefs and Mahomes, and that defense is so good. And the Broncos don't just beat the Chiefs. They kind of spank them. Like, they beat them pretty well.
Like, maybe the worst defense in the league is the Chiefs to zero touchdowns.
That same Dolphins team got 70 points scored on them. And I think in two games, they've given up like one touchdown to the Chiefs. It does not make sense to me. The Chiefs are daring me to start going, I don't know. Is there problems in Kansas City? I'm not doing it.
Yeah, don't do it.
They'll probably be fine. They'll be one of the final two teams.
Ooh, but next week should be fun. They're going to be angry next week.
But LJ,
it's a big
you
game
did,
too.
You did tell Prestige Worldwide in our group text. You can embarrass the Broncos once, right?
For sure.
Yeah, maybe even time, twice.
Yeah.
We'll
do, yeah. That's fine. Two times, that's cool. Yeah, we'll do three times. We don't mind. Four times, that's fine. But 17 times in a row, no, we make a stand there. Every time.
That's where you draw a hard line in the sand.
Yeah.
17
In Denver, times. We will not get embarrassed 17 times in a row. I promise you that.
All of that stat.
Tony, the Chiefs do, the Chiefs don't have like a fatal flaw that I think they're bad all of a sudden. They're gonna be a playoff team. It did feel like, we've talked about it most of the year, but even more this past week, if Kelsey's not like all world Kelsey, it just doesn't feel like they have a target. And they did not go get anyone at trade deadline. Maybe they signed someone or will sign someone, but they didn't go trade for anyone. Do you think this team can win a Super Bowl with the way their receivers are? Because that's the issue, right? Everywhere else you're okay with, aren't you, Don?
Agreed.
Yeah. I'd say yes, but here's the thing for this past weekend and they just didn't do it this week, and they had shown signs of it, especially down the stretch last year, was consistently running the football. And so when I say consistently, so here I'm looking at the box score. The Chiefs had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different rushers. They handed the ball off to 6 different people. Now, one of those was Mahomes, and none of them had more than 10 carries. When you're in that kind of game, when your quarterback is off because he's got the flu, Kelsey, you know, didn't have his number one fan there, so he's got the mojo against him, and it didn't work. But you've got to be able to hand the ball off 15 times to one guy and win those kind of ball games. They did that down the stretch. They've got to figure out – they just didn't do it in this game, and it was just one of those games. But that's the only thing I see. They can win with these receivers. Rashee Rice is getting better. And we're seeing Miami does this with these kind of receivers, although Waddle and Hill, phenomenal. But there's no one great big receiver on Miami. And so, you know, that's what I'd say. They got to run the football. Pacheco has got to be able to run the ball 10 to 15 times in these kind of games.
Pops, thoughts?
Well, I think Tony's on it. I'm looking. Pacheco ran it 8 times for 40 yards. I mean, that's 5 yards a carry. Why not give him the ball a little more? It wasn't like the score. It wasn't like it was out of bounds and they had to just pass every down. Tony, I think you're hitting the nail on the head right there. And am I worried about him? Not too much. Now, if Kelsey goes down, I'm freaking worried about him. I will say that. But I still, that number 15 is still pretty good, but Rice needs to continue to show up. I think if he keeps excelling, but hell, whatever. They laid an egg this week. I mean,
they laid an egg.
I think,
I just got to say, look,
go ahead, Elle.
If I have the flu, no one cares. Jordan has a flu game. Patrick Mahomes, oh, he probably lost because of the flu. I don't know. Whatever. Go to work. Get over it.
Well, and wah. I'll give
you know what
I'll
they
give,
say. Excuses are like assholes. Everybody has one, and they usually stink.
So. Ben Roethlisberger probably had a half dozen flu games. So.
LJ, I do want to point out, and I know this isn't something you necessarily want to hear, but they did try to ask Mahomes afterward, like, "Oh, well, you were sick, right? How are you feeling?" Yeah. And he said, "I felt bad on Saturday. I woke up today. I feel fine. It had nothing to do. We just got beat. We Ben Roethlisberger.
I'm going
to
jump on.
Would have said." I literally almost died this morning. I don't know how I played.
Yeah. I'm going to hate on the Chiefs because it's my job to do so, but Mahomes is a class act. He's one of my favorite football players of all time. I just wish he wore a different jersey. That's all.
Yeah.
And Prestige Worldwide is saying, I hope he's in that 15 red for the next 10, 15 years. So
I think he's washed. I think he's done. I think he should retire now. Maybe he should pull a Packers quarterback and go to the Jets and then the Vikings, you know.
Well, LJ,
why was no Mahomes talk at the trade deadline? I never heard that.
Yeah, yes, I never heard any of that either.
Didn't come up.
LJ brought up that it's going to be fun for whoever the Chiefs played next week. Mm. Well, on Saturday, which I hate that it's the 8:30 game.
We
have must-see TV for the 8:30 Germany kickoff. Dolphins play the Chiefs.
Yeah,
at 8:30, that is going to be a game.
I didn't realize it was overseas too. That's going to mess up everything. Oh man, this is either going to be one sided.
I'll just have you know, I did a little research because some teams have figured this out, some haven't. I don't know the exact science, but the Chiefs will go down there on Friday. I believe I've read they will be traveling to Germany on Friday for the game, whereas the Dolphins, I think, traveled on Monday or Tuesday. They'll be there for multiple days to get ready. If you remember, Jacksonville was there for a while and Buffalo showed up like the Friday before and they looked like they were sleepwalking the first three quarters. Similar, the Ravens showed up on Monday and spent the whole week overseas. And the team there, whoever they were playing, I can't remember who it is, the Titans showed up shortly, like on the Friday. So I'm just for the gambling folks out there, just throwing that out there just to take in mind. But I do think it's going to be a fun one. 6-2 versus 6-2. We've talked about the Dolphins hadn't beaten anyone. Well, here you go. Go beat the Chiefs.
Yep.
And the Chiefs also are going to want to get a win after that loss.
They beat the team that beat the Chiefs, though, so that's a huge deal.
They scored 70 points on the team that beat the Chiefs. So, LJ, I did see – oh, there was – I wish I could find it. There was some real good Bronco stats. Like, this was the first time in, I think, 11 straight the last 11 games the Broncos have been leading at half. They've lost every single one of them. But this one, again, we draw the line at 12. 12 is where it's like, we're not doing it again.
Can I just as a Broncos fan, if I'm going to be honest with you, this is a horrifying position to be in because Russ is actually cooking right now. He's like a top four quarterback in almost every metric.
Yeah.
The Vance Joseph defense has shown up for like 4 weeks straight all of a sudden. This team looks like they could do some damage if they could make the playoffs. I just don't think they're that good.
Russell Wilson right now, pass touchdown interception ratio, he's second in the NFL. He has the fourth most passing touchdowns, the first most touchdowns per attempt, the fourth best passer rating, and tied for first in fourth quarter comebacks this season. And it's funny because we've kind of been making fun of Russell Wilson a lot this year, and he's actually not playing that bad. He's had some bad moments, but he's not playing that bad as a total. I don't know. Could Sean Payton somehow have traded half the defense, but be better? Does it feel as a Broncos fan? Do you have any idea where? Do you feel like this thing we're rowing in the right direction? Or are you still like, I don't know what to do? I don't know what to take from this.
I think that I'm already deciding that the 2023 season is done. I'm just not going to get my hopes up. Don't let me do it. If anyone sees me doing it, stop it. But
he just did. Stop it.
Thank you. But next year there could be some hope, but that's, you know, say that in Cleveland every year. So
Sean Payton, you're good with Sean Payton right now. You think you have your head coach?
I mean, honestly, when was the last time that I said we should fire a head coach after 1 year?
You'll never do that.
You've never said that.
So yeah,
you were ready to give Hackett another year.
Yeah, so. I still feel bad we didn't. So
I don't know if you should feel bad
maybe
about
don't
that,
trust me there.
I did want to bring up, we just mentioned the Miami Dolphins since they'll play the Chiefs this week. Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill now has 1,014 receiving yards this season. That makes him the first player in 62 years and the fourth player in NFL history with 1,000 receiving yards in the team's first eight games of the season. That I would ask, do y'all want to guess who the other ones will? You might be able to get one, but I'm just going to say the names for you. Yeah, he joins please. A list of Charlie Hennigan had 1,100 in 1961. Elroy Crazy Legs Hirsch in 1951. Don Hudson with 1,000 in 1942. What the hell was going on in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, LJ? They were aerating?
No one expected the forward pass.
Elroy Crazy Legs Hirsch was just running up and down the field in 51.
I feel like this happened, was it last week, where it just seemed like you were making up names and threw like two real ones in there to make us feel better? That's what I feel like's happening right now.
Like, for all you know, like I just threw Crazy Legs in there just for a little, like just for fun. Yeah. Like that. No, that's his name. Yeah. I kind of want to go back and do like, especially, well, no, those were in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. I wanted to almost do like some research on what the hell was going on.
I'll
yards to catch
for the next week for sure.
Last week we were talking about yards per catch stats. And all the top four were like 50s and 60s receivers.
I'm literally willing to bet this is 100 yard reception after 100 yard reception because it was just an illegal play. It was an illegal play. They'd let go sometimes.
The safety position wasn't created until 1969. So
that's a good point.
Hey, in high school, we had a dude named Donald Matthews, and I bet you he averaged about 40 yards a catch. I mean, we just told Alvin, drop back and throw that ball up, and Donald went and got it, and it happened a lot.
What was Donald's nickname?
Donald? Crazy Legs?
Yeah, no, he
his nickname was TD.
Yeah, Donald Tony, TD he said, Matthews.
I guess. My name is Donald, and I go by Donald.
Donald, you know, Big like Dick Madonna, Matthews. That was him right there. Oh. There he goes. Go, BD, go.
Another team I want to point out, because at 0-3, I think it was 0-3, maybe it was just 0-2. Some of us were ready to panic a little. Maybe me. It sure looks like, Pops, that your boy Joe Burrow is back to being Joe Burrow. He looked damn good against the 49ers this past weekend.
He really did. And I'm just, his swagger looks back. Apparently that leg was something, because
he was running around.
I think he can sidestep in the pocket. You know, he can move a little bit better. And I don't know. I just, this kid has got some confidence, man. It's hard not to like Joe Burrow to me.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
I mean, he has came in and we've said this before, but completely changed the culture of a club that was just a loser. They were a loser club for a long time. He's got a pretty good running back behind him in Joe Mixon that ran hard last week, and he's got a pretty good number one out there on the out wide. Well, in
and it's
Chase.
Not just one. I mean, Higgins is good. Boyd's good. Higgins I think is we were good. Just worried got, with Burrow. Yeah.
But Burrow looked good, but he's got a lot of good tools.
And the reason I was kind of ready to bury him a little bit is because I just thought they screwed him, and now he's not going to be healthy all year. But Tony, specifically that one play where he's dancing around in the pocket, sprinting out, and then threw one on the run when I think it was Bosa. Someone crushed him, and he threw it on the run. Just a beautiful first down on like third and long. If that's how Joe Burrow looks, you could tell me this team's in the Super Bowl at the end of the year. I mean, that Joe Burrow is hard to beat come January. I mean, are the Bengals right back to being top class of the AFC now? Are you saying healthy. Slow down a little?
He's healthy. Let's just leave. He's healthy. So their offense
someone
is now
on this podcast didn't
notch.
Start him in their fantasy football team. I can't
they
remember.
They did not.
Voice, okay.
San Francisco came in as the number two rated defense off a bye week.
And at one point, Joe Burrow, I think he broke a record for the most completions he's ever thrown consecutively. He only went
15 of 15.
Yeah, he did go
20.
He went 28 for 32 on the day with three touchdowns.
So. Yeah. Joe's back. He will never leave the starting lineup again, but he's back. No, but in all seriousness, there's never been a question about the offense of Joe Burrow's healthy. And I think that definitely Lyft nailed it. The confidence is back. That's the deal. He knows he can plant on the foot. He knows he can go. So as long as he doesn't get hurt again, just it's a good thing he played the 49ers before Chase Young got there. So yeah. It's good.
Well, and it was a little note that was said before this past weekend that we should have taken more notice of. But the Bengals said for the first time this year during the after the bye week, he was practicing under center snaps, which means he was doing dropbacks, which means he was planting on her foot like you're saying, Tony. And that should have been our sign like, oh, maybe the calf is final. Like he at least feels comfortable planting that foot and really testing that calf. And he looks really good. I do want to add LJ, and I know LJ, Tony kind of mentioned it, and so they brought in reinforcements, but it's now 3 weeks in a row. 49ers haven't looked great. Purdy looks like they – I mean, he ended up throwing for 360 yards, but they just were losing most of that game. A lot of that, I felt like, came a little later. I don't know. What are you worried about the 49ers, or they'll be fine?
I am worried about the 49ers. Yeah. I mean, I think that the defensive health they just brought on is going to be a big deal because I don't know how you score points on that team anymore. But
we don't have to go deep into it, but freaking a third round pick for Chase Young. I mean, I'm sure that the Washington, I'm sure they didn't want to trade to Dallas, but Jerry Jones, if you didn't pick up the phone and offer, then I'm going to be pissed off.
I would have done a second. Yeah, no doubt.
Chase Young has his issues, but a third round pick, I mean, he's still crazy talented. Mm-hmm. God. Good for the 49ers,
I got some comments on that later.
Okay, but. Well, LJ, finish on what we're thinking with the 49ers.
Well, I wanted to touch on, I think I was one of the people early on that said, like, hey, the Bengals, I mean, in the summer, Burrow and Chase are having some of that gumbo, and they've, like, once they've gotten slimmed up, they'll be fine.
They go back down to Nola.
September's always going to be rough for them. Don't worry about it too much. So I think the Niners hit a really tough team this week. And so I think that's a big part of it. But yeah, I'm a little bit worried about them generally. Yeah.
You know, can I add a little bit to that? They hit two desperate teams in a row, really. True. I mean, they hit Minnesota when Minnesota really needed a win.
Yeah.
And then Cincinnati really needed a win. I mean, that doesn't necessarily excuse them, but they really came up on two teams that were really badly needing a win.
Solid point. But now they're going into their bye. Losing or second place in their division. I mean, that
also, yeah. I think what, and Pops, this is one of your, I mean, not just favorite players on the 49ers, but probably one of your favorite players in football. Maybe Deebo Samuels is not more than just a fun gadget. Cool. I think he does a lot more of that offense. And another big one, Trent Williams has been out too. So those are two very good players. And the only reason I'd be a little concerned, and I know a couple weeks ago I crowned Brock Purdy, but the NFL is kind of a league. When one team figures something out, everyone else is going to do it until you show you can beat it. And what happened was LJ's boy, what's the former head coach for the Broncos defensive guy?
Fangio.
For the Dolphins, they ran against the 49ers at one point. They ran Fangio, he's not at the Dolphins. He's at whoever played. Anyway, I just messed that whole thing up, so just disregard that. But Mike McDaniel went up against the Eagles, and the Eagles ran a kind of a 46 style defense, and that's the same thing. And McDaniels runs a similar offense to Shanahan. And so people are like, oh, maybe this defense is the way to stop that style of offense. The Dolphins seems like they figured things out. Purdy, let's figure out now. The NFL may have figured you out a little bit, and it's all about how do you now react to that. And he might. I still put a lot of faith in Shanahan to figure things out.
He's the DC at Miami.
Fangio. Okay.
Yeah.
I put faith in Shanahan. He'll figure things out, but this is the first real time where Purdy's not looked like he had some sort of answer. So I'll be interested to see where they go. I bet it'll be nice. I bet they get a bye week. They come back healthy. They have time to look at these film. 49ers will probably be fine. Christian McCaffrey still looks really good. George Kittle looks really good. Ayuk look good. Get back Deebo. And then, yeah, their pass rushers are insane. Tony, you said you want to touch on the Chase Young, or you want to touch on both the Sweat being traded too from the Commanders?
Because there's been a lot of talk about Sweat and Chase Young getting traded. But the one thing I think before we leave the 49ers, I don't think we've realized Deebo Samuel's value to this style of offense. He does, and to Brock Purdy. Kittle is not the drop down kind of tight end like Travis Kelce. Deebo is that guy for Purdy. And with Deebo either not being 100% and being out for 2 weeks, I think that meant more than we might have thought. Not just because you think Deebo, big guy down the field, it's the drop-off pass. Purdy doesn't have that. And I think that's what's causing him some issues here the last couple weeks. Even though 360 yards, not bad. and fighting through
it. Just watching that game, it didn't. Yeah. Oh, and you mentioned that. I do. There was a play that I know the internet took a note of because he got in the concussion protocol on like Tuesday. Yeah. And so far, no one's been able to clear it for the next week. Purdy did clear it. They cleared him. And then he had a hit where his back of his head hit and his hands instantly like went to grab his head for a second. I don't know. I did kind of go.
It looked like it hurt him. It did look like it hurt him.
That's what got Tua in trouble. But yeah, anyway.
But I just took note of that because I saw that going around and apparently Posh did too.
Interesting.
Go ahead, Tony. What do you want to bring up?
So Chase Young, Montez Sweat. The Commanders traded both of them, and Sweat went for a second round pick and Chase Bears. Young went for a third. And the Bears. And you're thinking, why the hell would Sweat go for a second and Chase Young for a third? And here's why. Chase Young is in his fifth year option was waived this year. And so he is in a contract year. So any team that got him has got one of two choices. He is either a rental, or you've got to sign him to a long-term contract. And nobody was going to give up a second round pick and then turn around and sign him to a long-term contract. So them getting that third round, and it's a conditional third round, which I think means, or it's a compensatory third round, which means it's not even their regular third round pick. It's one of the third round picks that comes at the end of the third round between the third and the fourth. If I understand that rule correctly. So they're not even giving up wherever it is they finish their third round. It's their compensatory pick. And so it's because of the contract situation. Montez Sweat is still controllable. And so the Bears have the opportunity to have him in that contract swing next year. And that's why it was worth more. And that's why he only went for a third round to San Francisco.
Pops?
Can I ask something about that third round pick? I read that apparently if you hire a head coach of color, I believe you get a compensatory third round pick. And I don't know that San Francisco did that, but I want to say I read they somehow got that from Houston because Houston hired DeMarco.
Well, you sometimes get compensatory picks if players or coaches leave.
Yeah, but this was kind of like it was if you hired a minority in a an executive position.
Or maybe they had, because they had him as an assistant head coach, because he was their assistant head coach last year.
Hiring Lovey? Didn't they have Lovey for a year before they hired DeMarco?
The Texans did. So maybe the Texans had that pick and they gave it to the 49ers.
They gave it to the 49ers for something. Yeah. You can trade it. I think you can trade a compensatory. Well, you obviously can. So anyway, that's interesting that it's for a coach of color.
That's what I read. Yeah.
But yeah, Tony, so that means it's not even their regular third round pick.
I think another reason for the seeing the picks that those two went for, we're not going to deny Chase Young's just talent and ability is really high, and you would think would be maybe a second round pick, maybe even a first. But there's been issues with Chase Young. On one play, he looks really good. The next five, he doesn't look good. Like people think that he takes plays off and there might be a motor issue. There's no doubt in the talent. Whereas Montez Sweat is just a very, very good defensive end who seems to play a high motor. So if you're teams are more willing to go a little higher on him because you're just like, we know he's good. Whereas Chase Young, you got to have the right building and you got to believe that you can turn it around. Now, I say all this, he's going to a stacked defensive line in San Francisco and a coaching staff that really knows how to coach up defensive lines. He'll probably be fantastic because he's probably going to get – never going to get double teamed anymore because they're just so deep. And one of the best pass rushing in the NFL just got deeper. So we'll see what the 49ers – I would not want to be a quarterback playing against that team down the stretch. Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah. And a shout out to John Lynch, who's turning into one of the best executives ever.
John Lynch. No and question. Then is it Howie Rose? Which one's the Eagles GM? I can't. Is it Joe Douglas? Maybe. I think that might be his name. I can't remember who his name is, but he's also good. And because it's picking up what makes them good. It's not that they were able to get those guys. Cause I'm saying the Eagles got Byard and they've done a lot of other trades, but it's just picking up it's working the phones and making every call and at least checking on, even if you're the Cowboys and you're like, oh, there's no way we can offer what they want for Chase Young. Well, you got to pick up the phone and at least throw some offers out there. And they might tell you to F off, but John Lynch finds a way. He turns over every stone, it seems like, and he's going to do whatever he can to get the most talent. And as a fan, that's all you want from a team. Like, you want them to just spend the money and at least try to make this team good every single year. So you got to like that. Let's move on to some other games. I mean, where else would you like to go, Pops? What's another game that caught your eye?
Well, I guess here's what caught my eye. You were saying something, and I'm probably going to stay on this for a second. Max Crosby. You know, this guy.
I love Max Crosby as a defensive
end. Too. And what made me think of it is when you're talking about Chase Young.
For the Raiders, yeah.
Max Crosby does not have the talent Chase Young has. He is not as athletically talented. But that guy's motor is on full speed. When you watch him play, I mean, he reminds me, and I was going to kind of compare him a little bit to Micah Parsons. I think Micah Parsons has more athletic ability than Max Crosby. And I'm not just saying Max Crosby is deceptively athletic because he does happen to be wide. That does sound like what I'm saying.
He's too pale to be that athletic.
But I love watching Max Crosby play football because that guy is getting it. And I think Parsons, and so I think Parsons has some of that in him. He's even more athletic. I think Chase Young may be more athletic than either one of those two guys, even Micah. But I just wonder if he has the engine. And I think that's what's getting called into question about
Crosby's him. One of the funnest guys. He's up there as far as top five pass rushers.
Fun to watch.
Really good. And he has a great – if you have time, he does have a great story. If you go back, he's battled addiction, and he's fought back from it. And he really has a great story, and he's told it on multiple podcasts and video. You can go find it. So it's worth looking up. He's fun to watch and fun to root for.
Yeah.
You brought up Micah, so let's go ahead and touch on future MVP Dak Prescott on the Cowboys. I'm just kidding. But it was an encouraging game. Micah Parsons did look like Micah Parsons again. They remembered that 88 guy for the team might be someone you should target a lot. He had maybe his best game as a Cowboy. It seemed like every time I was over at Uncle Tony's house watching the game, it felt like every time we popped over to that TV where that game was on, 88 was running down the sideline with another big catch.
Yeah.
They're not running the ball that well. Pollard just doesn't seem to be getting it done. But what do you think with the Cowboys? Is this kind of the same Cowboys team you kind of thought? They're good against maybe the lesser teams, and we still don't know what they are with the big dogs.
Yeah, exactly. We'll find out this weekend.
Yeah, because they get the Eagles this weekend.
Eagles.
Eagles. It's in and at Philly, so we're going to find out what they're made of. This is going to tell us a lot. But yeah, it was great to see CeeDee Lamb do what he did, and then figure out to throw it to him. And I don't know what's going on with the run game. And that was the thing McCarthy said, we need to run the football, and they ain't running the football. And so I don't know. It's a good question. And as we just talked about with Kansas City, there's going to come those games where you're going to have to be able to run that football. And they've always been able to do that. One last thing about the Cowboys for turn it over. Dak Prescott on the move is such a much better player than Dak Prescott stuck in a pocket.
Yes.
And I just his confidence. We talked about with Burrow, his confidence in his legs right now, I think, is sky high. And I think we're finally seeing that he's not afraid. And that makes him such a more dangerous quarterback. And so if he plays like that.
Well, I love the stat line you see today, 4 carries for 20 yards. Like, you don't need him to be all over the place, but just the threat of his legs opens up everything for him.
Yeah.
And he looked in this game, he looked really, really good. He did have one interception, but I mean, 25 for 31, 300 yards, 4 touchdowns. CD was great, but he was spreading the ball around. I mean, Ferguson had the touchdown to Ferguson was perfectly placed ball. Also a good catch, but Prescott looked really good. We'll see Dak has his ups and downs, so we will see. I think Pops, and it seems like you were nodding. I still don't know what the Cowboys are a playoff team, but I think they still have to answer it's similar to me the way I talked about the Dolphins last week, even though I put the Dolphins ahead of the Cowboys, but they're a good team. Are they in the conversation with those other guys or not? This week against the Eagles, 3:25 game. I think we'll get our better idea for them. Even if they lose, if they just look like one of those teams, right?
Well, yes. And here's the thing I think with the Cowboys is, when is the last time they played in a big game and really showed up? It's been a while. They beat the teams they're supposed to beat.
The last one probably be last Super year Bowl in the playoffs 32. When they beat the Buccaneers in the wild card round, they kind of showed up and beat the Buccaneers well. But
yes.
That was an age. Yeah. But to your point, it seems often they just beat the shit out of the bad teams and then they struggle in some of these big games. Which any NFL team it's a win's a win, and you do give credit for it. They did what they're supposed to, and I'm impressed with how they played last week. Because that Rams team, as we've mentioned, can be a little frisky. But Let me see it on a game where you know you're going up against one of the big dogs, and that's exactly what you're getting in Philly next Sunday.
Just don't jump off sides. Don't have penalties kill you. Don't lose the game with non-preparation. If they show up, we don't have to beat the Eagles. We really need to, though, because they're running away with the division if we don't get a loss on them. But this will show a lot. I mean, show up and play and don't shoot yourself in the foot, Cowboys. That's all. That's what I'm looking for.
LJ, a team that's kind of mentioned just because you said that the 49ers are no longer in the driver's seat. Team that's kind of cruising to a decent little record and now in the driver's seat of the NFC West are the Seattle Seahawks, and they're now at 5-2. Geno hasn't looked great this year, but they are a decent roster. That defense is looking better. Are the Seahawks legit, you think, though?
You know, legit, I haven't watched a single game of theirs yet this year. It just hasn't worked out.
So what's your opinion without watching them? I'm still curious.
Yeah, I can tell you that Drew Lock has looked great this year.
He has gotten in for a second. Pops, what do you think with the Seahawks?
Excuse me. Yeah, you know, I haven't seen them play a lot either. That West Coast bias, you know, I hadn't got to, or the non-West Coast bias. I don't know. I really can't answer you either. I know they got two pretty good receivers. I like, and Jigba caught one this week as well, caught a touchdown. So you got Lockett, Metcalf, and Jigba out there.
Their wins did beat the Lions, but then their wins are Panthers, Giants, Cardinals, Browns. So they're not, and it was the Browns with PJ Walker. So I do think we got a lot to figure out.
And they barely beat the Browns.
And once again, much like we talked about with the Cowboys, I think we'll learn a lot about the Seahawks when they go up and play the Ravens this weekend.
Yep.
Looking at the slate, we got a good NFL slate.
This is phenomenal games this week.
Because every time I keep looking at, who did that team play this week? I'm like, oh, that's a good one. Well, that's a good one.
Who Josh Allen has to play this week?
I'm guessing is it the Broncos or
the Bengals?
Oh, Bills, Bengals. Golly, we got
this. This is a week of football.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Tony, Tony Pops, anybody really, or El, any games that we got this past week that you want to touch, either a good win or bad loss that you? I know the ugliest game, by far the ugliest game, was the New York showdown between the Jets and Giants. The player of the game was Steve Weatherford, the punter for the Jets, and that should tell you all you need to know. Tommy DeVito, I thought this was a made up name. I didn't know that was a real person. He came in and I honestly think that, like, we joke, like, could you put up this NFL stat line? I think I could have done just as well as Donnie DeVito did, at least throwing. He ran a touchdown in, and I might not be able to do that, but I don't know if he can throw a forward pass.
Guess how many? Do you know how many times Saquon Barkley ran the ball last week?
It should have been a lot. I don't know how many.
36 times.
Yeah, because Tommy DeVito could not throw it forward.
Exactly, but my gosh, that's a lot of rushes.
What was his stat? -3 was his total yards?
2 for 7 with -1 yard.
2 for 7, -1. That may be the first time a quarterback has thrown for negative yards if they've thrown for more than one completion.
That's wild. Their receivers. Saquon Barkley had 3 catches for 0 yards. Waller had 1 for 4. He left early. Breida, 1 for 4. Yeah. And then Darius Slayton had 1 for -1. That's their receiving. Yeah. That game was just horrendous to watch. And somehow the Jets did everything they could do to lose it and somehow still ended up getting a win in the end. Tony, are the Jets going to be in contention? And is Aaron Rodgers coming back this season? Did you see the video? Did you see the video of him throwing?
No. I just don't see it. It'd be a hell of a storyline. AFC teams are playing. I can't see it with Miami and Buffalo ahead. I just don't know. I just don't see how the Jets can get there.
Christmas Eve, the Jets play the Commanders. They're in the wild card hunt. I think it's a primetime game, and Aaron Rodgers comes back.
A shocking first for the podcast, but I'm going to disagree completely with Tony. I think the Jets do sneak in wild card. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be back, and I think they're a quarterback away from being dangerous.
So Aaron Rodgers not only comes back, but is Aaron Rodgers?
Well, I don't know. We'll see. I think they're in the playoffs, and we're going to be finding out. Are they for real?
He's going to be the first quarterback to play in a boot.
Yeah.
He's going to have these big, long spikes on there. He's just going to sit there, and he's just going to throw the ball.
Hey, just keep giving him those cactus plants from the Midwest or from the Southwest, and he'll be all right.
There you go.
Pops, what you got?
Well, I did have one other thing. Detroit, Jahmyr Gibbs,
Man, we wow, knew Jameer Gibbs was that good, right? I don't think Tony. I know you've liked.
I know
Jameer
Tony's
Gibbs
got a little
year,
stock in him, but I mean that guy hit the hole hard. He got some speed. He's got some burst. If he can keep playing like that, Detroit is scary.
Well, I will say that game didn't really shock me. I think I thought if they ever give him that kind of workload, he's that good. He's a very talented back. I don't think you're going to see that big of a workload because I don't think they want to give him that many carries because I think they want to keep him around. But still, he is everything they thought he was, I think, is the big thing, Tony. It's they'll drop his touches back down to 15 or so, 15, 20 when Montgomery comes back. But he's still going to be – he averaged 6 yards a carry. I wouldn't be shocked if he kind of averages that for the year.
Oh, yeah. I could see him doing it. He looks really good. He looks like a very young Alvin Kamara.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He looks very similar to a McCaffrey Kamara. What they can do for a team, I feel like Gibbs can kind of do that same thing.
Yeah.
And the Lions are dangerous. They can run the ball. Goff, he really knows how to run that offense. Amon Ross St. Brown's one of the better receivers. And that Sam Laporta kid at tight end.
Laporta looked good.
I'm not jumping him in the top three or something, but I don't know. He's good. He's really good.
And I didn't know St. Brown was that fast. Did you see him catch the corner on that guy? Just outran him.
Just outran an angle like the guy had an angle, and he was
a good angle on him. I was impressed. I was impressed with St. Brown,
But now, they were playing the Oakland Raiders or Las Vegas Raiders, so we need to throw that in.
They were.
And they won by 12, and Jimmy Garoppolo, straight up, there's no exaggeration. Devontae had a 98-yard touchdown that he missed, and he had another one where he just missed him, and he was there.
Wide open. Just nothing but
– I kind of feel bad for Devontae, but also, you chose the Raiders. I mean, you were playing at Green Bay in a pretty good system, and you chose to go to the Raiders. So, LJ could have told you.
To Derek Carr, though, right, which is like the biggest tragedy. He wanted to go play with his old quarterback, and now he's on the fucking Raiders, and he doesn't have his buddy there. Like, what a sad day for that.
I kind of got the idea he wasn't that sad to see Derek Carr go, though.
I mean, for some reason it did feel that way, but he did.
He's been saying, like, man, that's why I came here. You know, like, he said that in the last week.
They were college teammates, weren't they? Roommates, I think.
And he really wanted back after seeing it was Garoppolo they signed.
He made a couple of phone calls, didn't get it done, but he tried.
Yeah.
So I did see we were already talking about how it's just a travesty that Davante Adams is stuck there and didn't get traded at the deadline, especially if they're trying to tank. But a guy, Robert Mays, who writes for The Athletic, and he's good on Twitter, at Robert Mays, he just threw out something that's like the league should make a rule. And he said they should do it for every year, but it'll work for Davante Adams. Just basically we pick a guy that just doesn't need to be on that team. Like the league knows he needs to be traded. And so you just make a rule. That player, so this year, Davante Adams becomes a free agent. He can sign wherever he wants, and the Raiders get the 33rd pick in the draft.
I love
no
that.
Financial so ramifications
eight,
for the Vegas.
Good. Week eight, we just slice a player off a team.
Yeah, so there's no financial impact for Vegas. No trades necessary. It's just doing what's right for the sport because the sport's a better place if Devontae's playing a contender, least a playoff
Denver,
team.
Denver,
right?
No doubt.
That's right.
Hard to argue with that. It's a good point.
It's never going to happen, but it would be fun.
That's a good one.
Any other games we want to touch on before we look ahead to maybe pick some winners for next week?
Real quick, and I know this probably is going to, but Washington gave Philly all they wanted for over three quarters.
That's two times in a row now they've done that where they've given them
really
everything.
Played them tough. And that quarterback for Washington, I got a little stock in him because I have to, but
He's fucking lucky is what you did.
Hey, he throws a good ball. I mean, and I think he's a tough kid. But, he's been playing well. I that was an interesting game. I thought Washington gave him hell for a little over three quarters.
Well, and Pops, by them doing what they did at the deadline, trading two key defensive players, I think they're going to give up a lot of points. And I think Sam Howell's going to be chucking that thing all over the field. So
I do, too. I mean, he may be my guy in fantasy the rest of the year. It's just throwing
I
out
do
there
agree
and see
with
what
you
happens.
On him playing well on – he was 3 yards short of 400 yards on the day and four touchdowns. But we cannot touch on this game. I know we talked about him some last week, but A.J. Brown, yet again, eight catches, beast. 130 yards, two touchdowns. Huge. He broke a record for the only player to ever have, is it six straight games with 125 yards and touchdown?
Jeez.
I mean, again, I'm not necessarily saying he's the best receiver in football, but he's playing the best football of all receivers right now. I mean, he's
absolutely.
I don't know how you guard him. And then when you do finally find a way to guard him, that Devontae guy on the other side's really good. And so is Dallas Goedert. And so is DeAndre Swift. I mean, they're a dangerous football team.
Yeah, and that game actually gave me hope for the Cowboys this weekend, because the Eagles secondary has not been very good here for three or four ball games. And so if the Cowboys were just kind of trying it out against the Rams, if they full-fledged let CeeDee Lamb and Brandon Cooks and Michael Gallup go against the Eagles, that could be a high-scoring game, and they could sneak it out. One. But, yeah, yeah.
I do want to give a shout. I'm not sure how good he is, but Will Levis played a hell of a game for the Titans. Well,
he did look good, didn't he?
He had a couple of throws that were just what's his beautiful. Name, but,
yeah. He said, y'all should have played me sooner.
Well, and, you know, he found out this wild, wild thought that I can't believe we hadn't got to before week eight, but maybe throw it to that DeAndre Hopkins guy. That might be smart.
Yeah.
That really good receiver we brought in.
Good idea.
Well, Levis is like, hey, that Hopkins guy, the guy with the long hair and the hands that are bigger than anyone else on the planet, I'm going to throw him the ball a few times, just see what happens. And it worked out pretty well for him.
I thought I saw that Hopkins said that people counted me out, and now that I'm back, I feel like Geno Smith. And that feels strange to me, because like I never thought that he was the problem there.
Well, I do think people kind of said maybe he's a little washed, and like he did take a long time to sign this offseason, because I think he saw himself as, I'm still one of the premier receivers, and I think the league was like, you're good still, but you're not that. And four catches for 128 yards and three touchdowns, at least for this week, pretty
that's
damn
like
good.
That's like pre-1960s numbers right there.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, that's like a 60s receiver.
Yeah, that's
Elroy Crazy Legs Hirsch is a little jealous.
That's
He's like, well, it looks like a
receiver right there.
Yeah. Old BD going down the field right there. Yeah.
Levis, I mean, some of the throws were just busted coverages, but there was at least one where, and me and Tony were watching, both were like, that's a hell of a throw. He like scrambles to the right and he kind of breaks the pressure, sets his feet, and throws a beautiful like 60-yard bomb that was just right in stride. And I don't know if Levis is the guy or not, but I don't know how you go back to Tannehill at this point. You see what you got with Levis, because there's a chance. He showed at least enough to where I'm like, let's get a full year of this guy and see what we got there. Any other big winners, Tony?
Surprised.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm really surprised Ryan Tannehill's not in Minnesota this
me
week.
Me too, so, Tony. I was thinking that exactly. I really thought that was where they were going.
That kind of tells me that ankle may be worse than they're letting on.
Yeah.
Mm, and just so Tony can get a cuss word out if he needs to, Arthur Smith still hasn't figured out that number seven guy for his team's the best player on his football team.
Fanzion.
Serenity now.
What a Fanzion.
I'm trying to look. So, okay. Tyler Allgeier averages 3.2 yards a carry. Bijan Robinson. Oh, and also Tyler Allgeier was undrafted out of BYU. Bijan Robinson averages 5.1 yards per carry, picked in the top 10. Yet, Allgeier has 12 more carries on the year than Bijan does. Oh, what?
Oh,
I don't understand. Tony, can you there, is there an explanation or
can
is
you maybe, can you say it without cussing, Tony?
I can,
but you won't.
But I'm not doing it.
Fuse.
I think Arthur Smith is lost in space. I think, and I just don't know.
Well, I just drove Tony to drink in the rest of the night because he wouldn't even think about Bijan Robinson.
Too late for that, my friend. I'm without words because no one can figure out Arthur Smith. You can dial up any podcast anywhere, and shout out to all the podcasters that are
a notch
below. Just press play.
Yeah, all the second best.
They also know Arthur Smith hates fantasy football. And the fact of the matter is that you just can't figure out what the hell he's thinking. And it's crazy.
But
I mean,
but Tony,
I don't get
I'm
it.
Totally okay if he gets annoyed by getting asked questions about fantasy football. That's fine. Your best player on your roster is Bijan Robinson. That is the best player on their roster. Best screw fantasy football. Beating I just want to win ball. Football games.
Not even close. It's not even close, right? Drake London is good, but he's not Bijan Robinson. It's not even close. The guy, every time he has the ball in his hands, you look at him and go, wow. He makes a wow play on just about every time he has the ball in his hands. It's anyway. Yeah. Okay, anyway, so
you did good, Tony. You held that a long time.
That's gonna be a capital A. Capital A.
He held that. He held that for a long time. That's impressive.
Yeah.
I thought for a second he was going to get away without doing it, but he just, you know.
No, I'm just disappointed I can't brag on beating the acromegalies this week.
No, you're not allowed to do that. You don't get that luxury this week.
No.
And Sam, I think I don't, Tony, you can tell me. I don't want to ask Pops here, but are the acromegalies, how many games have they lost? They're doing pretty well, aren't they? That's just one, is what. Or is
this many? That many. That's many.
He's telling me I'm number one, listeners.
What's your rank? What's your rank too? What's the acronym rank?
I'm that same rank.
I'm 5-3. I got 3, so I'm in a tie for second.
So LJ, I'm getting that Tony is kind of like the Cowboys, and they're good against the bad teams, but then when they run up against the real team,
totally.
Anyway, yeah. Tony, your hate for Arthur Smith actually segues us perfectly into our parlay of the day, because I'm going Falcons. I'm going to go ahead and start off. I'm going Falcons -4.5 against the Vikings. And Mom, I'm sorry, this has nothing to do with you or the Vikings. It's just, I think Kirk Cousins was that important and is that big of a loss. They're bringing in Jaren Hall, who I didn't think was that good at BYU, let alone now in the NFL. Dobbs is going to be ready. Falcons, Arthur, please give the ball to 7. But even if you don't, I think the Falcons win by handily. I think they win by double digits, honestly. But Falcons -4.5. That's what I'm going for my leg. Who's up? Who wants to go next? Who's got a pick for us? El, go
ahead. Go ahead, El.
Fire it off,
El. Go get it.
So we've talked many times this last hour about how this is maybe some of the most exciting games that we've had this year. We've got so many good games this year. You know, what is not exciting is Monday night. Monday night is a garbage game. So I'm going to give you a reason to watch it. And it's because you're taking the Jets +3, a team that I only picked early on when we were talking, so I could sell this bet later. They're ready to beat the Chargers, who are just as good as the Jets, and now you've got money on it. So go ahead and watch that game.
Well, I was so ready to be like, again, I was like, you could also just leave one of these picks out and do a 3-leg parlay. You don't have to put LJ's in. But last time I said that, LJ was dead right. So
yeah, so everybody leave it out.
I guess JETS just Jets. Yeah, it is.
Keep wasting money. The Jets will win. You could money line it.
I'm gonna like it, and I'm seeing them at 3.5. So I like that even better.
Oh, yeah.
Pops, I hate that LJ probably just took who you were gonna take.
We're all thinking too. I'll tell you, here's one game that I don't even know if anybody's gonna show up to watch. The Giants play the Raiders.
The New York teams played. Wow. The New York teams just played the worst football game I think I've seen in like 10 years,
and it's about to get beat next week.
It's gonna get worse. It's what Bill Simmons calls the poopfecta.
You got Tommy DeVito against Aiden O'Connell, or maybe Daniel Jones comes back. But
Jones is cleared.
Okay.
He's supposed to play, yeah. We'll see Daniel Jones.
Oh, boy.
Okay. I'm between two, and I'm going to go ahead and take this one. I'm going to take Baltimore -6 at home versus Seattle, coming all the way from the West Coast. And so I don't like the 6 points, but I think – I'm going to take it. Baltimore.
By the way, 6. Speaking of Baltimore, we talked about it last week. The hot team, they were going up against Arizona, and Arizona backdoor. They found a way to sneak in the back door there at the end, which is the most ridiculous cover of all time.
Such a bad beat. That's
about as bad a beat as it gets, the way they snuck in that back door and covered that thing.
There's 3 different things that happened that could have kept. It was really a bad beat.
Yeah, that's really bad. If you bet that game, I'm sorry, and I hope you have a bottle of something to drink, because that was horrendous. Yeah. Tony, what you got for this week?
It's you're in Baltimore. Now, I like the Baltimore pick, because that was going to be my pick. I like that lift. I like Baltimore -6. But I'm going to go with another one. Let me give you Prestige Worldwide takes the Bucks +3.
Who the Bucks got? Who we got?
They are playing the Texans at home.
I can see that.
He likes them. The Texans just lost to Carolina, so maybe they have a thing about playing NFC South. But
that's a bad problem.
I'm not sure C.J. Stroud has been a little bit iffy from a health standpoint, and I think that's going to be the deal maker there. But anyway, So prestige wide has Bucks plus three. Since I can't take Baltimore minus six, I'm going to give you the extra here. And I'm going to take the Saints 7.5 is what I'm seeing over the Bears at home.
Is Fields still out for sure? Do we know that?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Fields is still out for sure. And so here's the reason. I got to tell you the story. Here's the reason I'm taking the New Orleans Saints minus 7.5. So this weekend I will be in New Orleans and I will be at that game.
Nice.
And this is November the 4th, and it is exactly 31 years since the last time that I went to a football game in the Superdome at New Orleans. And that game, I saw the New Orleans Saints play the undefeated Chicago Bears.
Oh, wow.
And I saw the New Orleans Saints beat the undefeated Chicago Bears. And I saw it with a Mr. Lifford Lutheringer.
Okay.
I'm not sure Liff remembers the game. I remember the game. But
there was something about a top to a whiskey bottle getting thrown away early. I don't remember.
Oh, you got to take care of that. That was bad then. That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tony, that laugh by Liff makes me – I think that's confirmation that
– That was a weekend you can't remember, but you can't forget either. Yeah. So, but we're going to be back there this weekend. I'm excited. So I'm going to take the Saints minus 7.5, plus the fact that Chicago's not playing good right now without Justin Fields. And New Orleans has actually kind of found a little bit of a groove. So if I could get rid of that hook. If I could get rid of that hook, I'd feel a little bit better. But I'm going to take the Saints minus 7.5.
Just a quick look in on that, and you can get – plus 2,300. So $10 wins you 240.
For five? That's a five game parlay.
That's a five gamer. Yeah, that's a five gamer. Now, you don't have to put all five in. You could leave LJ's in, take mine out, or you could take LJ's out, take Tony's out. It's up to you.
Discretion is.
But yeah. And like we didn't win last week. I guess we didn't say that, but you would know if we'd have won because we'd have said it. Trust me.
Yeah.
You know, and this is the one thing. I last week, Lifford, and y'all heard it, Lifford was powerful in his delivery for his pick. And he said, I don't know about any of y'all, but I know that when Pittsburgh is a home dog, you take them.
Yeah.
And it was just, you were like,
I was ready to run through a wall.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was
I thought Mike Tomlin was on the podcast.
On Pittsburgh. And then
I've seen that movie.
No,
I couldn't tell if that was Omar Epps or Mike Tomlin, but one of them were on this podcast. I thought for a second, and I was ready to run through a wall.
I was and just awesome.
So much for that. But
did they cover Tony?
No.
Oh, okay. I see.
Yeah.
And I think we might have covered everywhere else. Did we cover?
Yes. Oh, I don't know. I don't recall.
It doesn't matter because it's a parlay. And if you don't get them all,
it's a team game.
Yep.
It's a team game.
It didn't sound like one right now, boys.
If you don't get them all, you don't get anything.
Yeah, we did. So Miami covered, Minnesota covered, Philadelphia covered.
Hey, but you know, Pittsburgh did not. No man left behind. It's a team game.
No man left behind. Not that we do that here at Just Press Play, but Lifford screwed us.
Ouch.
But again, people, for these parlays, don't go put your.
This is for entertainment purposes only now.
And if you're gonna wager on them, please do it responsibly because they win big. But the reason they win big is because it's four plus legs on these bad boys. So there's a lot of chances for them to lose. So be careful. Just for entertainment purposes only.
Just curious. The other game I almost took was Philly minus three. Getting Dallas at home. I don't know. Philly scares me. Philly's got a good team, y'all.
Jalen Hurts isn't fully right, though, and the Cowboys could get after him. And, of course, I'm talking myself into it because I'm a Cowboys fan. But
me, too. That's why I didn't go with it. But
Tony already told me their secondary is iffy. And if you're Dak Prescott, you've already started the MVP crusade. So now here's the best way to really get your name in there.
Okay. So here's one for the listeners. If you really don't like any of the picks that we've got,
I'll give you one more.
Take the over in the Cowboys Philly game.
Which is,
what is it? 47, I'm showing.
Yeah.
46 and a half, 47.
46 and a half. And normally what I found that I'm real good at, if the score is over 45 and you've got top 15 offenses, you take the over. And so even though you've got a good defense, Philly's defense is not playing that well right now. I think that's a good bet. I would the over now, in that game is probably going to be pretty good.
That did sound convincing. I like Tony's his read there on 45 or over in top 15 offenses. I would. And I'm not going to ask IT to do that now, but maybe check that to see. Because every now and then, me and Tony specifically will throw out like, you know, here's the model. And then I'll get LJ to look at it. I'm like, LJ's like, well, you know, it sounds good at Kevin, but that was dumb. That does not win.
Now,
so buyer beware.
Haven't I seen that unders have been hitting like 60%?
Unders are hitting in a record year. I think I was going to check IT, see if next week we could talk a little about that. Because I do think it's a record.
Offenses are just
unders.
Not scoring the points that they have.
I'll reach out to IT, see what they can do about that.
Yeah, see what
it has been a strange first half of the season. I'll tell you that. Yeah.
All right, boys. Well, I need to wrap things up. But before we go, we do need to check. Yeah, what's up, Pops?
Matthew Perry died. Friends, I mean, pretty legit. Yep. I thought he was good. I really liked him. And Bobby Knight passed away today.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Right before we started recording. Yep.
Right before we started, Bobby Knight, and a hell of a basketball coach. One of the best ever.
Him or don't like him, he was a hell of a coach.
So, and sorry, Matthew Perry is similar to
what we were talking about before with like good stories and fun to root for. Like Matthew Perry went through a lot of struggles, and there's like one of the, I was reading an excerpt from his book where it's like, I know I'm going to be remembered as the actor from Friends, which is great. He was happy about his work, but he said he wants to be, he created I think it's called like Matthew's House or something. And it's in LA and it's for people who are battling addiction and stuff. And so good dude. And that sucks.
One of my favorite movies is Fools Rush In. I think it's him. And is it maybe Salma Hayek? Maybe. But anyway, really good movie if you get a chance.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, it was.
Okay. Yes, I'm a hike. Tony, it looks like it's a dark liquor in that drink. What do we got?
You would be correct, sir. So I've already mentioned my trip to New Orleans coming up, and so I made me a New Orleans cocktail.
Tony loves a good themed drink.
The Vucaray?
I do. The Vucaray, which is the house drink of the Hotel Monteleone in the Carousel Bar, which I hope to be at Friday or Saturday night. Maybe Sunday night, too. You don't know. It's New Orleans. And so, Vucaray with equal parts rye, cognac, and sweet vermouth with a little bit of Benedictine and Peychaud's bitters and Angostura bitters. Tasty.
If we've got a listener out there that loves spreadsheets as much as I do, I'd love for you to go through and figure out what the most common drink is to be featured on What Is Uncle Tony Drinking? Because I think it's a Vucaray by a long shot.
Oh yeah, I think it's a four. I think it's a four tower.
One, yeah.
Well, you know what they say: if it ain't fixed, or if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
If it ain't fixed, don't break it.
Right.
Yeah. If it ain't fixed, don't touch it. Don't break it worse.
Yeah. If you don't pour it, I can't drink it.
There it is. And I can just for the listeners out there, I can confirm we've said it before, but I was over at Uncle Tony's house this past weekend, and can confirm still. He knows how to make a damn good Bloody Mary. He hasn't lost his touch. He's still got his fastball.
Boy's got skills.
And he's actually, he's added a little bit to his fastball. There's a little movement on it. Do you want to share what you've added to your fastball, or do we want to keep that a secret? Is that
it's all right. A beef stick.
Oh.
Beef stick. Whoa. Up in that Bloody Mary.
Oh, possible beef stick in there. And I'm telling you, let that thing sit there for a little while and you take a bite and whoo.
What are you like, Louis the 14th? Are you like the king of indulgence at this point? Like, that's incredible. I love it.
Yeah, man. Me too. Yeah. It's good. It's good.
I love it. It's solid. It's real good. So, and we do need to go, but it was funny. I get there and he was like, you want a Bloody? What do you want? You want a Bloody Mary? I was like, well, I'm not going to turn it down. So he starts making it and he tells me, by the way, I've been doing this thing and I don't have to put it in yours, but I've been putting a beef stick in it. And I was like, well, I'm not turning that down.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
who am I, one, to tell Uncle Tony how to make a drink, two, to turn down a beef stick, you know?
So, right.
Are these Slim Jims or are these like the big sausage? What is it?
Big sausage. These are the Costco brand beef sticks, GW something beef sticks. They're 100% pure beef. They're really good.
It's like the size, like as far as like width, it's like of a Slim Jim.
Yeah, so same size matters. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Every inch counts.
I think this is the girth. The girth is what we're talking about.
It's not a beef jerky.
That is a perfect time to wrap things up. We'll be back next week. Right. Maybe episode with title? More. Yeah. Oh, God. I don't even know how to wrap this thing up. All right. We'll be back next week, guys. Peace out.
Peace. Peace.
I got to get out of here.
Beef stick. Beef stick.
This thing's. Let's go. Stick.
Oh, my Lanta.
I'll catch you later.
All right.
I know. It's great to see you, man.
Thank you.